hearing, and growing in the Spirit. And just to warn you, I've got a bit of a cold and a croaky voice, so I'm hoping it's going to hold out. There's a line in one of the Psalms. It says, it's Psalm 37, it says, I once was young and now I'm old. And I've seen God. And I guess that's where I can come from this morning. And my journey has not been shaped by city life, and it's not been shaped by Arise. My journey has been different. And yet there's a common thread. And what I'm going to be sharing on this morning very much comes out of the R on your Arise, restored identity, hearing God and growing in the Spirit. I want to just reflect back onto last week, because it was a couple of things that Matt said. And firstly, during his talk, he spoke about marriage. He drew that out of the name of one of the churches in the Revelation. And he made some comments on that. And I just want to go a little further on that and just highlight something there. And I pray that you bear with me as I've got different themes I'm going to be drawing for you this morning. The other thing that Matt mentioned at the end, a couple of quite poignant phrases, and I'm going to pick them up, on spiritual growth, which is the subject that I talked about with Hannah that I would look at as I would draw on some of the material I used when we were doing the Arise and Build. I had the incredible blessing of being at Bible college and sitting just behind a young lady who I gradually fell in love with. And Sylvia and I met at Bible college and have shared now in over 50 years of married life. There are all sorts of different folks here this morning. Some of you are single, and some of you have gone through some brokenness in marriage, and some may not necessarily be in a marriage where both partners are loving the Lord. But I just want to bring an illustration and some thoughts out of our own walk with God. Four keys I want to leave you this morning for your marriage. Four keys for your marriage. And these four things have kept Sylvia and I in harmony and in God's grace. The first one is, marriage is important because it's a covenant, not a contract. Marriage is important because it is a covenant and not a contract. And the difference there is a contract, if you like, is written in paper, on paper, and it's agreement that is there. But a covenant has God in the middle of it. And when you get married, you're making a covenant, and there are three parties involved, not two. You, your spouse, and God. And that is the foundation that you can go back to time and time and time again. It's a covenant, not a contract. The next principle that Sylvia and I drew on right from the outset was that we would walk in the light. Regardless, we would walk in the light. And I have to say that has led to me, I have to say more than Sylvia, having to be honest and having to repent and having to say, Sylvia, I'm sorry. I was irritable over that conversation that we had. I was wrong. I've asked God to forgive me. Will you? To walk in the light. The next one is incredibly important, and that is praying together. And if you find that difficult, get some set prayers. Have a reading. But praying together is incredibly important because we are joined spiritually and that grows our relationship. And the last one is breaking bread. Over the latter years of our married life, we've established a Sabbath meal. And it's a time when we have bread and wine on the table and we share in communion together and we pray for all of our sons and their wives and our grandchildren. And it's an important central part that holds our marriage together. As somebody who was young and now I'm old, can I encourage you to take some steps in putting those four keys into your marriage? Okay, that was just an extra. It was, as Matt was speaking on that last week, I thought, I want to add to that. And now spiritual growth. And again, I'm just going to pick up on the two phrases that Matt gave right at the end. He'd finished, but he hadn't. You know, Matt's like that sometimes. And he was just talking again. And the first thing he said was, you were born as babies and you've got to grow. You were born as babies. And he was talking about the spiritual side of us. I'll unpack that a little bit more later. But we've got to grow. And he talked about being hungry, being starving hungry. And God has so much more for you. How old were you when you first put your trust in the Lord? Were you a teenager? Was it in later life? But at that moment, you were a baby. You were a baby spiritually, and you were designed to grow. Let me share some scriptures on that. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is a matter of life and death. You're not going to live by bread alone. The bread feeds the natural man, but you will grow and live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Therefore, hearing God is incredibly important. Otherwise, you'll be starving in that spiritual part of yourself. So we do not lose heart. I love this one. more and more appropriate the older you get. We do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. There's a process going on. In God, the stronger you are in the Spirit. This has helped me as I've looked at myself and my growth. Considering this, body, soul, spirit. Now may the peace, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many, many ways we could look at ourselves and try to understand ourselves. I found this scripture particularly helpful to look at myself in the sense of body, soul, and spirit. And the area of the body is easy. There are the five senses where you identify that, isn't there? Touch, taste, seeing, smelling, and hearing. That's a natural understanding of the five senses. I like to see the soul in this way. Mind, will, and emotion. And there's a two-way direction there within the soul. Our bodies and the environment around us can affect our minds, our thinking, and our feelings. And the will is pivotal as to whether you channel it up or down. And our spirit, our relationship, our communion, our fellowship, spirit to spirit. Man was created as a spiritual being. And when he sinned, that died. When you're born again, that spirit is given back. You're alive again. You're a new creation. So can we focus there for a moment? Do you know what your prime calling is? I want everyone by the end of this morning to be able to say with clarity, my prime calling is this. And knowing your prime calling will help you towards your secondary calling. For those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that they might be the firstborn among many brothers. Those God called, he called them that they might become conformed to Jesus. We all, with unbowed faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. Being transformed from one degree of glory to the next. That's the spiritual person in you growing, being transformed. This is the scripture from Ephesians on the fivefold ministry. And I love this, and a lot of my ministry was built around this. that the fivefold ministry is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, mature to mature manhood, to the measure, to the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do you know what church is for? It's designed to help you to be like Jesus. That's the ministry of the church, according to Paul in Ephesians, to be like Jesus. Does anybody know this apart from me? Anybody? Barney, I'm going to try and get us singing it. And then it will stay with you. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory. All I ask is to be like him. And in my croaky voice this morning, let me have a... This is designed to help you remember one thing. Can I see, were there one or two hands again? One or two, no. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like him. Do you think we can have a go, Barney? Do you think we could? To like Jesus, be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory. All I ask is to be like him, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like him. Through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like him. Bless you, thank you. That's the challenge, folks. That is why God set his love on you. That is why he called you, that he might conform you to be like Jesus. And it's not impossible. It's a process of growing the spiritual man in you. Our prime calling. Over the years of my walk with the Lord, he's spoken to me in different ways. And I shared at the Arise and Build 20 ways in which God has spoken to me. I'm not going to start going through them all now. Don't panic. But I am just going to highlight them in blocks of five. And on each one, I'm just going to highlight one. God speaks to us through the Bible, through kingdom atmosphere, through church teaching, through koinonia, the fellowship, and through discipleship. Number two for me has been an anchor. It didn't happen until I think I was a couple of years into my second church in ministry that I began to understand and get a revelation of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is righteousness. And even in dark times when I didn't think I was hearing God, understanding and knowing the template of the kingdom overlaying everything was all the guidance I needed. Do you have an understanding of the template of the kingdom? Worship, the sacraments, devotional books, testimonies, and compassion. They're ways in which God speaks to us. The one I'm going to highlight there for me was number nine, testimonies. In the church network I was at a conference, and the speaker came and he was carrying a huge beach ball, which was a globe of the world. And he had a jacket on, which was a globe, which was a map of the world. And his name was George Verber. And as he shared his passion that God had for the nations, something happened inside of me. And God spoke to me through his testimony, as he shared after one place after another that he had sought to go to the nations. And what had been for me a very all of a sudden exploded. And my life was never the same after that. It ended up with me living in Central Asia at one point. God speaks through tongues, through words of knowledge, through journaling, through contemplation, through inner thoughts. So important that we hear God to grow. Number 13 for me has been incredibly important. Again, more in the latter years of my Christian life as I developed journaling. But I find it so helpful, because it slows me down. And as I'm writing and reflecting on the day, and as then questions come out, I then find myself writing, are you saying that I should? And then I start jotting something down. And that conversation with God in the journaling. Recount what God is doing in your life. Very important discipline for me. Circumstances, creations, dreams, visions, and prophecy. God speaks to us in these ways. I'd highlight number 17 there for me. I've learned more and more about thin spaces. Places in creation where I can just sit and see and sense the presence of God. Pray that you've been able to stay with me in hearing God and growing in the Spirit. As we share in communion, as Hannah guides us in that in a moment, can we ask ourselves, am I growing spiritually? Or am I still a baby? Thanks, Hannah.